Students Nova Scotia recently released a report on the barriers of post-secondary education in the province. Their findings show that domestic tuition in Nova Scotia is about 36.5% higher than the national average. In an interview with CKDU, Georgia Siliski explains how this creates barriers for those entering post-secondary and how high tuition prices, on top of lack of affordable housing and other living costs, may deter new students from choosing to study in Nova Scotia.
So our access report was Who Goes, Who Pays. It's a two-part research report that highlights both the social barriers to accessing post-secondary education in the province, as well as financial barriers, which is the second piece. As for the financial barriers, one thing that we looked at extensively was tuition in the province. And we know now that we're in Nova Scotia about 36.5% above the national average for domestic tuition. So that means tuition for students that are from Canada and Nova Scotia. And then it's increasing at a disproportional rate. So right now we have a 3% tuition cap in the province that's been there for the last 6 years. And we've seen a 20% increase in that time period, whereas across the country, there's been a 3.2% increase in tuition over that same time. So right now, really, the concern is, we're so far ahead and we're continuing to pull off in that direction exponentially. So it's about what can be done at this point in time, given that we're really in this dire situation in Nova Scotia.
Yeah, exactly. And what effects do you think that would have on students choosing to study in Nova Scotia versus other provinces?
I think it has a huge effect. And I think that while it's not the only thing, it kind of comes in play when we look at other costs, right? So we know the cost of inflation is quite high, in Canada, but particularly in Nova Scotia. We don't have a lot of affordable housing. There are barriers for example, for international students to access healthcare. Our MSI students have to wait 13 months before they can become eligible. And these are certain things where it's like, okay, well, if tuition is on par with another province or another university in a different province, what other effects are drawing students away from studying here? And then tuition in itself, I think, while we know that it's a popular destination for students right now, enrollment is remaining kind of high at the place where it has been for the past few years. We're still seeing students, particularly international students, coming from all over in order to study in this province. I think we're at great risk to see that change and to go the other way. I think that right now there's a big turning point in kind of the post-secondary world that we live in because of housing, because of healthcare, because of the state of things post-COVID. We're finally getting back into what I'm going to say is the most normal that we've had since. And that being said, certain things I think are coming to light. And while this is not a new problem, I think there's a lot more attention on it and it's getting worse.
What needs to be done by maybe the province or post-secondary schools in order to ensure that there is this retention of students applying to post-secondary here?
There's a few things that could be done. Again, it's a pretty it's a pretty complicated issue because even if we're, so right now we're advocating for a 1% tuition cap. So reducing that 3% all the way down to 1, a tuition freeze would also be fantastic. But that's our advocacy for the upcoming memorandum of understanding between the universities and the province. Other than that, they need to look at ethical recruitment strategies for international students to ensure that when students are coming into this province, they know that they have access to housing. They know the cost they're going to be paying up front so that we're not seeing students, dropping out and facing risks of homelessness and things that are far more dangerous than even not being able to access their post-secondary education, which is obviously the priority. I think that the problem right now is that we're not just seeing post-secondary educations being in jeopardy, we're seeing students being in jeopardy. And that is going to have a huge impact on the political and economical climate in Nova Scotia. We know that here our universities in the province are the second driving force of export revenues. And that being said, we need to be able to maintain those for growth and development. We need researchers, we need medical care providers, we need construction workers. These are all things that students provide and that universities provide. And I think being able to look at students as the, you know, the foundation of our institutions and to be able to uplift them and provide them with increased access and reduced barriers to their education is really the goal.
Yeah. So has there been a rise at all in students like dropping out or not returning, maybe like looking elsewhere for their second or third years in other provinces within the same program or something like that?
I can't speak to statistics. I don't have them. That's another issue, is just a lack of data generally around these kinds of issues. But I certainly know that we have heard from here in different institutions that there are students that have transferred because they can't find housing, because it's too expensive to afford their education in Nova Scotia. They've decided to go to other institutions, other provinces. This is a reality, and I think it's becoming more and more of a challenge for students that are living in the province. So again, that being said, I don't have any specific stats, but it is something that we're hearing increasingly, yeah.
Yeah. And in the report, you did discuss demographic barriers. So like, what are some of these barriers that are an outcome of this tuition rise?
So we know there's all kinds of demographic barriers, whether it's you know, first generation learning status. So this is students that come from homes where they're the first person to attend a post-secondary institution. This looks like students with disabilities, African Nova Scotian students. There's a kind of a wide range of students, rural even, that need additional assistance when it comes to reducing the barriers that they face in terms of accessing their education. But I think what we've done in our report is really sum what those barriers look like. We know that the foundation of barriers, the very first thing you need to overcome to be able to get to your post-secondary education is attitudinal barriers. So this looks like, being able to see the importance of post-secondary education, believing that you can envision yourself there. Like, do you see yourself attaining a university degree? If you can't do that, then you're already missing the mark. So that has to do with education that happens predominantly in high school. We know now, because of this report and the research that we've run, that the most critical time for students is grade 9s and 10. Once they've kind of passed that point, you're looking at already having made decisions or feeling too much pressure, and it becomes overwhelming, especially when there are financial constraints involved for many students trying to achieve post-secondary in the province. So attitude is really the first one. And then we know that beyond that, there's information. So being able to say that you have access to sufficient information on post-secondary options, knowing that you're equipped with the knowledge that you need to make the correct decision, whether that's your institute, your degree, how you're going to finance it, which is the third one, making sure you know you have the sufficient financial aid, the resources that you need, whether you have the money to go to university or you need assistance. What does that assistance look like for you? How long is it going to last? Where are you going to need to fill in the gaps? Do you need to work during school? That's really the top line. And I think oftentimes when we talk about access to post-secondary in Nova Scotia, we forget about those bottom two, which really start even before we look at financials or finances, sorry. So that for us is really how we have broken down the kind of socioeconomic status that we know that a lot of students fall into, because they experience different barriers that fit into all of these categories. And if you do experience those barriers, you're probably one of the demographics that has a harder time achieving your post-secondary education.
And speaking to financial aid and kind of you were talking about how this will affect the economy in Nova Scotia, I'm sure these students, receiving higher loans are then paying them back for longer periods of times, or, just having that debt. So that was all my questions for you, unless you had anything else you wanted to add.
Just thank you for having a chat with me on this topic. Since we've published this report, we've been able to have a lot of really good conversations about the realities that students are facing across the board in order to access their post-secondary education. And like I say, I think it's only getting worse here in the province. So I'm hopeful that starting these kinds of these chats in spaces like this will really help us to get that message out and see some change.